This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is hour number two. Thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Coming up this hour, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Also, our good friend Steve Gardner is going to join us. USA Today talk Major League Baseball. I always love talking to Steve. Always have a good conversation with him. We'll talk about the no-hitter situations that are going on, but also we're going to get more into this unwritten rules debate because CC Sabathia has come out now and criticized Tony La Russa. I said this at the time. You know I'm not a big Tony La Russa as a manager fan. I thought this was a reach for the White Sox, who have a very good young baseball team, to go after a 76-year-old manager who'd been out of the game for a while. But I think La Russa becomes an easy target in situations like this, where most managers would probably have agreed with La Russa, saying, look, I don't want my guy swinging on a 3-0 pitch in a game where we're blowing out the opponent by 10 runs. But La Russa, because he publicly admonished his player, because he was willing to be so outspoken about it, and because, again, 76, it's an easy grandpa's too grouchy type of thing. So we'll talk to Steve Gardner about that. PGA Championship is underway, round number two at Kiawah Island. Corey Connors, who had the clubhouse lead at 5 under par, is out on the golf course. He's won over right now at -4. Bringing back the field. No, Brooks Koepka, the two-time PGA champion, is at 3 under par. And Phil Mickelson, baby, 2 under. 50-year-old Phil Mickelson is in contention at the PGA after round one. I don't know how long it lasts, but it was nice to see him battle back. I was watching it yesterday. He was 3 over, I think, at one point in his opening round and started rallying with some birdies. So good for Phil. I always like to see Phil on top of the leaderboard. It looks like the course is making it difficult for players. We still could see double digit scoring, but we'll see how the winds pick up at Kiawah Island as that the second round continues. But coming up next, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. So you never know what's going to unpack that as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. Your Friday edition. We are going to send you into the weekend the right way with the good, the bad, the dumb. But we start with the good. So what is it, Mr. Culver?
This is a weird good. Because right, it's going to sound good. Bad.
All right.
Okay. But Argentine soccer team, not the national team, one of their league teams. It's a team called River Plate. They're really good. But they have 20 players out with COVID.
Oh, man.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's almost a whole team.
Yeah. They have no bench. And they had a game the other night. It's a we've talked about, you know, the Champions League over in Europe, you know, or this, you know, and the failed Super League they were trying to create, where you take all the top teams and you play against each other. They had something similar to that in South America called Libertadores or something like that. I'm butchering it. I don't really know how to say it. But anyways, they were facing a team from Colombia called Independiente Santa Fe, having no players, all their goalies out, and they still managed to win 2-1.
How did they do that?
They just did it. They had to use a injured midfielder as their goalkeeper.
I like your answer. They just did it.
They just did it. Yeah. I don't know how I can't explain it. I mean, you would think that a team who has their full roster available to them. I'm picturing, you know, when we had.
Is this like a replacement player thing, like in the NFL?
No, they didn't replace any of the players. I mean, maybe they called some up from like some of the.
How many people did they have?
Well.
Like, how many people were on the pitch?
Well, they had 11.
Well, how did they get the 11?
What do you mean?
You just set the story up that 20 players.
20
had
players,
COVID.
Right? Yeah, but I mean you have reserves.
But I
picture
but
like
you,
a.
But then you said they had no bench.
No, they had no bench, no bench players, no subs to come into the game.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So I thought the 11 guys were out plus the 9 guys that are on the bench. So they didn't even have a team.
No. They had enough to field a team.
Oh, okay.
Just a team. They did not have enough for any subs. Well,
so basically a team won a game without any substitutions. Is that a rare thing in soccer?
It's a rare thing in soccer when you're using an injured midfielder as your goalie.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because he doesn't play that position every single day. And the fact that he's injured.
Yeah.
That the only
true.
Position that he could play because he couldn't run was goalie.
All right. Now this story is starting to make a little bit of sense.
I look at it is like when the Baltimore Ravens were having COVID issues last year, right? Remember, it was them, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were the
NFL was like, how can we help you be competitive against the Steelers? We'll delay that game
right.
as much as we possibly can for you.
So imagine them going into that game Sunday without any of their starting 22 and then taking it to the Steelers.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's kind awesome. Of the equivalent here. That
good for them.
You know, life finds a way, I guess. I don't know.
That's good. Good for them.
So, yeah, congrats on them. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know if it's good for the goalies on the team. It's like, hey, we just won a game, proved we didn't need you. Didn't need any four of you because they carry four goalkeepers and every single one of them is down with COVID.
I'm not hitting you up for Argentine soccer information, but because it's below south of the equator, it's like autumn there. Is this a late season thing, or is this a beginning of the season thing? Or
I think it's a
where does their season run?
I think their season runs almost like the calendar year.
Gotcha.
I don't think they play.
It's not like a seasonal. Like they should be wrapping it up into the summer or however it works.
No, they should be wrapping it up. You're absolutely right. They should be wrapping it up.
I don't know. Maybe it's just warm there. I don't know where they play. I know Argentina is a long country. In South America, but there might be colder places and warmer places, and just like let's, you know, because winter is coming for them.
I don't know if that matters.
I don't know if that matters at all.
I'm not 100% sure when their season starts. I know like a country like Mexico has two seasons.
Yeah,
you know they have a summer and winter league
because it's hot or very very hot.
Right.
So that's good. All right.
And dirty.
Right.
Pollution.
Yeah, pollution. What's the dumb of the day?
The bad of the day.
Bad of the day, I'm sorry.
The bad of the day is that nearly 8,000 people in the state of North Carolina won their pick 3 lottery Wednesday.
Oh, that's not good.
Choosing the numbers 666.
Oh, really?
And
there's always a group of people that do that.
Well, it's not a group of people, Tony. We're talking 8,000 people.
No, I mean that's true. So I'm assuming that these 8,000 people, there's always like thousands of people that will do that all the time.
Yeah. I don't know what the odds of hitting the numbers are. I'm not privy to lottery mathematics or something like that. But hitting the lottery 666 or betting 666. I don't know if I'd want to claim the prize.
Well, yes, you would, wouldn't you? If you picked that number, you wanted to have an angle to that, those numbers.
Or maybe I don't know. Would you want to distribute that prize? I mean, the odds of winning the drawing are 1 in 1,000.
I would think that you would rig it so that those numbers couldn't come up.
Yeah.
You'd be like, 6, 6, 1. And like, can I see that? No, it's 1. Trust me, it's 1. It's 1. It's 1. Put it down. It's 1. Throw it back in there. That's what I would do. I wouldn't want to draw 666 if I was a lottery official.
Crazy?
I'm not tempting that kind of fate. But seriously, that's one of those numbers. It's always like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's always like there's always a combination that a bunch of people always do.
Just
and then with the rare occasion that it pops up, it's like, 6,000 people got this because that's the one thing they like to do.
If you're choosing just 3 numbers, there's probably a portion of you, even like good Christian people might go, I'm just going to do 666 and just see what happens.
See what happens, yeah.
But I mean, it's the devil's money. I don't know if I'd want to claim it. I'd be like, okay, I won.
Well, if you're a church going guy, would you admit that you got it? You were part of that lotto pool to your
probably
friends?
Not, but all of a sudden you're just driving a nicer car.
Yeah. All of a sudden you're driving a nicer car and people go, where'd that come from? You don't want to know.
Exactly. So, but when I first read it, too, it reminded me of that scene in Bruce Almighty where, you know, everyone wanted, he just answered every, when he was on the computer and he just hit yes to everything.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And everyone won the lottery. It was like the largest lottery jackpot in New York State history, but every single person won it in Buffalo.
That's right. Oh, goodness. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is, in order to save the pub industry in England, adults are being asked to drink 124 pints this summer each.
How, now, that's a lot.
That's not, that's a lot.
Is that, how has that been broken down per I will day tell of
you,
the summer?
I will tell you, that's roughly a little over a pint a day.
Okay.
And
so
a
you
pint,
can skip 2 days as long as you do two or three on the days you are drinking.
And a pint, I mean, 124 pints, you know, put it to American values, would be about 165 12-ounce beers for us.
That would be awesome. If they, nobody ever says that here. Like, nobody ever says, hey, America, save the burger industry.
Save the economy.
And, yeah, save the beer industry. Save the candy industry. Save the sweet cake industry. Save, I mean, like... like all the little vices that no one ever says, eat more of that or drink more of that here.
And that's why I have it in the dumb of the day, because, you know, you kind of equate England with pints.
Yeah.
Like they all, I mean, I just feel like they just wake up and drink pints. And by doing this, it will boost the booze industry by 25.6 billion pounds. I'm not sure what the equivalent of that is in real money, but
that's fantastic. Well, it's close. Dollar and a pound are kind of the same.
Kind of the same, yeah.
They're close. They're close enough.
So
they're close enough for this. I know for economics they're not, but they're close enough for this.
That should probably be the government's economic plan to, you know, to stimulate the economy, is come out and say, hey, you know, not only are we going to give you some cash, but here, listen, if you ate, you know, two cheeseburgers a day, that's what you're average during the summertime, that's going to help out the restaurant industry more than you know, because they all shut down during COVID.
That's right.
And so that's, you know, England is doing their part by going to the pubs and saving the pub industry by having just a little over a pint a day.
By the way, if you're writing these articles, British press, just give us the dollar equivalent. Just put it in there, even if most of your audience doesn't care, because we do. We don't want to do math. It's like, it's really hard. It's like, I'll give you an example. Because I follow Formula One, everything's in kilometers per hour, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, I want to know how much it is. Like, I want to know miles per hour. Like, they always do everything in kilometers, and I'm like, I don't want to do the math. Like,
break it down for me, in this way.
Same thing with pounds and dollars. Say it's 25 billion pounds, and then quickly tell me how much that is in a currency I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I put it in the Googleator. 25 billion pounds is roughly, you know, $35.5 million.
Okay, that's great.
Or $1 billion.
$1 billion. All right, that's here you go. In the Googleator. That's awesome.
I mean, that's the only way to do it, right?
That's great. Yeah.
I'm not going to do the math.
I remember when I was a kid, I played golf in France. And I was staying in France for a month.
And you had a Royale with cheese.
A Royale with cheese.
Oh, no, that was a different story. Sorry.
I was playing golf, and I was happy because the guy was my French father, you know, that he took me golfing. And they do meters, but there was yardage equivalent.
Nice, see,
like on the board. So like you would get to a par three, and it might say 125 meters, and then it would give you the yardage equivalent. And I was like, "Thank you." I was like, "I'm too young." I was a high school kid. I was like, "I can't do this quick." All I remember was from Schoolhouse Rock that a meter was a little more than a yard. That was part of one of the songs in Schoolhouse Rock. I can't calculate this stuff.
No, like you see something like, you know, when the other one that bothers me the most is when British people, and it's the British people, they do this all the time when they're talking weight, and they go, oh yeah, he's 4 stone.
Oh yeah, I don't know what that is.
What is that? What does that mean?
Please tell me what that
What's
is.
What's stone? How much is a stone? Just tell me pounds.
Yeah.
But you see that all the time in the Olympics too. It's like, oh, but he's going for a distance of 4.5 meters.
You're
is that good?
Exactly. I hear Gordon Ramsay say quid a lot. Is quid and pound, are they just like, is that same verbiage for the same thing? Or
I
is
guess
a quid
so.
Something
quid?
Else?
I don't know. What's a quid?
He's like, oh, yeah, it's 20 quid. Go did, down and get, pay 25 quid.
And did I'm he
like,
leave off an S?
I don't know.
Is it supposed to be squid?
That's very true. I don't know what that
now, you know, my wife's car has, you know, it's an electric dashboard. So I hit the wrong button once, and I didn't realize that I was in kilometers until until my son pointed it out to me, and he's like, "Dad, you're going 120?" I'm like, "What? No, I mean, you don't need to look down at the speedometer to know how fast you're going sometimes, most of the time.
Absolutely crazy. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Steve Gardner will join us coming up in 15. We'll talk Major League Baseball with him, unwritten rules, no hitters, some surprises so far this season, Mike Trout's injury. It's all coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Keeping your car clean is simple and expensive maintenance that will help keep your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted surfaces, as well as interior care products like leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Steve Gardner will join us in a couple minutes. We'll talk Major League Baseball with him. Albert Pujols did hit a home run for the Dodgers yesterday. That's a good news thing as he tries to continue his pursuit of 700 home runs, right? Is that where he's chasing? 700.
How many?
Not that far away, to be honest with you, right?
No, I don't think he'll get it this season, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah. I don't know. And then where does he go from there, right? After that,
how many home runs he has? He has 668 total.
Yeah,
he's not getting it this year.
Yeah, I know. Remember, I was telling you last hour. We were talking about, you know, people selling you tickets, like the ticket salespeople of football teams that aren't very good. And I was telling you the story about my father lives in Florida now, and he's a big Giants fan. So when they were going to play Tampa, he got tickets before Tom Brady arrived, and they won the Super Bowl. So I told him, I said, you know, hey, listen. If they're playing the Dolphins, you should go down and see them play in Miami. Like, it's a far drive, but make a good weekend out of it. You know, drive down. And, you know, he's like, yeah, but this year the Giants are playing New Orleans. Now, New Orleans doesn't have Drew Brees, but they got a really strong fan base. Somehow he got tickets to see the Giants play New Orleans, and now we'll make a cool weekend out of that.
There you go.
I was like, good for you. You know where he needs to go?
Bourbon Street.
Yeah, well, of course. But he needs to see the Giants play Vegas. Like, that would be a cool trip.
Yeah.
Go see. I think that's you know, it's funny because when you look at the calendar of your team, I always do this with the Steelers. I'm like, are the Steelers coming to Atlanta? Are the Steelers coming? Like, anywhere outside of Nashville, can I go see them? And, you know, obviously, I'm not that far from Cincinnati, and I probably should have seen them already in Cincinnati, but I haven't. My brother lives in Indianapolis, and when I go see them there. But I'm always, I'm always up for seeing the Steelers on the road. One year, years ago, they were playing Minnesota in London, and I was so close to trying to figure out how to go to London to see the Steelers play. I thought that was
why not,
great.
Man?
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's part of we always talk about when they do release the NFL schedules that you have especially some cold weather cities. Looking at their teams, they like Packers going, okay, where can I go in November?
Right.
To kind of warm up. You know, are they playing down in Tampa? Are they playing down in Houston?
Yeah. You know, especially like if your wife gets it for you for like an early Christmas present.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Merry Christmas. I'm giving it to you early. You're going to Miami in December to see the Packers play the Dolphins. Like, we're going to go down there for a huge weekend. That's great.
Yeah. Right? Get out of the cold for a little bit.
I know. Remember, I told you that story when I first moved to Tampa with my wife, and the Buccaneers were terrible the year before, but then they were really good the next year. And their last game, one of their last games of the season, was against Brett Favre and the Packers. And everyone in Tampa was really ticked off that the whole stadium was filled with Packer fans. And I was like, where are you? Where were you? Why didn't you go to the game? And the ticket guys were calling in sports shows saying, because when we put the tickets in August, nobody wanted them. But there were these companies in Wisconsin that were buying them up in bulk and packaging them up as go see the Packers in sunny, warm beach Florida in December. And they sold out in like 10 minutes. Like, it was like, of course they did. It's like the Super Bowl champ. They were the Super Bowl champs at the time. You're selling a chance to go see them on the road in a warm weather climate in the middle of the winter. Of course. That's what makes it fun. I love things like that. I would love to go to Vegas to see that stadium, though. Doesn't that stadium look cool? I don't know about the nightclub.
It's just another typical Raiders stadium. I'd rather go to SoFi.
Well, it's not a typical Raiders stadium because the Raiders played in a dump in both Los Angeles and Oakland. Okay.
But no, you know what? Watching a game in Vegas, that's got to be a fun weekend.
It's got to be a great weekend. I think if your team is playing Vegas and you can get your hands on some tickets, you go.
How much do you think the Raiders try to petition the NFL saying, hey, can we do Saturday games, please?
Oh, now that would be fantastic.
Because I think you'd get a much larger crowd.
Because you got to take a day off Monday because you got to travel. You're not going to travel after the game or try to catch a flight late. You're going to go. You're going to drink. You're going to have a good time. You're going to watch your team play the Raiders. Or if maybe you're a Raider, you're one of those Raider fans that live in like Maine or, you know, North Carolina. And then you're going to go out, you're going to go back to the casino, and you're going to have more fun, and then you're going to wake up and travel.
You got to do that.
But if it was a Saturday game, you're right, and you could get your bearings and get back home.
Yeah, because, I mean, maybe you take a late flight Monday.
Yeah.
Because you can't take Monday, you know, and then you say, well, I'll fly out on Tuesday. You can't do that.
Vegas is such a cool place only for this thing. I remember the Mountain West Conference basketball tournament used to be held in Las Vegas, and we used to love going to it because I was living in Colorado, and Colorado State was in the Mountain West, Air Force was in the Mountain West, and so was Wyoming. So I was a sports director at the station, so I would go to Vegas to cover the Mountain West Conference tournament. And of course, you know, I was staying at like the Tropicana, and I was going to the games, and I was having a good time in Vegas, and I was visiting some old friends because I had used to work there, and it was a great trip. And then the Mountain West Conference decided, you know, it'd be a good idea. It'd be a good idea if we played the Mountain West Conference tournament in Denver. It's close to Utah. We've already got two other teams in the state of Colorado. It's not that far of a drive for, you know, New Mexico. And, it's a perfect location. It's a better location just geographically. Everybody hated it. Everybody hated it. Because it was the ultimate Vegas road trip. It wasn't just going to Vegas you were going to Vegas to support the Rams or the Cowboys or the Air Force Falcons or whatever. And it was an excuse to take a nice long vacation and watch some college basketball and have a really good time in Las Vegas. So they put it back in Las Vegas. And thankfully so, because I remember going to the Denver ones at the Pepsi Center going, this ain't going to work. This is terrible. All these people want to be in Vegas. They already want to be half drunk and already $10,000 down at the casino.
Yes, they do.
Right? That's what they want. They're like, I want to see my basketball team, and I want to mortgage. I want to put my mortgage down on roulette, and I want to be half drunk by the time I get to these games. That's what I want. I can't do any of those things in Colorado. I just want to gamble, drink, and watch my basketball team lose in the Mountain West Conference tournament. It was so fun. That city knows how to do it, man. That city knows how to put on a show. So moral of the story is if you are looking for a place to go with your team, try to find a ticket to Vegas.
Right.
You know, so that'd be great.
I'm fearful though of, you know, when Vegas does get a Super Bowl or, you know, just the amount of stories because they get in trouble anyways.
That's right.
But I'm fearful of, okay, you're bringing all these celebrities into Vegas. I mean, first of all, you're going to have to stay like way outside the city, right? You're going to have to stay at like the state line.
Oh, God, you'll be in Laughlin. Are you kidding me?
Just to afford being in that area. But, I mean, I can't imagine the parties.
It will be great.
It's a place built to party.
It really is. It really is. I mean, that's what it's there for. It's what it's known for. And again, I just think a weekend with going to see your team play the Raiders would be such a great
weekend getaway.
But I regret, I tell you right now, I regret I did not go to London to see the Steelers. I would, even though it was going to be a little bit of an expensive trip, of course. But
right.
You just don't know when your team is going to go back to London.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, of course, unless you're Jacksonville. But the Steelers, I don't know when they're going back. I don't know.
Same here. Chargers went out there too. And
I want to go to London and see them.
Yeah, but it is fun. I mean, I saw when the Chargers came here, watched them play, and it was unique being like the only Charger fan.
And seeing your team on the road is great because you find other people that are like, you find the groups of people that are rooting for you. You kind of hang out with them in the parking lot.
The better part, you get that side eye from everybody.
Right, like, exactly.
Yeah, so what are you going to do?
Steve Gardner is going to join us now. A lot to get to for Major League Baseball as we continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, a lot of stuff to unpack in Major League Baseball a month and a half into the season. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Steve Gardner, USA Today. Always good to have him on to talk Major League Baseball. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Tony. How about you?
I'm wonderful. Six no-hitters. Listen, go get 20 if you want, but is there an issue here? Is there something about is there something going on in baseball in the first 6 weeks, 7 weeks of the season that is sort of makes this more understandable as to why we're getting so many?
Well, I just think the balance between the hitters and pitchers is tilted so far in the pitcher's direction right now. I mean, there's so many pitchers that throw 95 to 100. The movement is ridiculous. And what baseball did in the offseason to the baseball is making it a little bit softer so that, you know, we don't see as many home runs as we did last year. I think that was what, meant to address. And maybe some of those balls that would have gone out last year are falling into players' gloves at the warning track this year. But it's pretty much the way that the scales have tipped toward the pitchers and how so many of them are so good and how hard it is to hit the baseball.
Now, there's obviously no solution to this because if you're Major League Baseball, take all these that you can get. But just from a public perception, how much is the no-hitter going to get devalued if we just keep piling them up?
That's exactly the worry. And when you know, it's supposed to be something that's very special, you know, and I think for the people in the ballpark, those who do get to go to the ballpark now, you'd love to see a no-hitter. You would love to be there to witness history. And even though we have, you know, six of them already, it's still a unique event. And maybe it's losing its specialty with baseball fans who get to see all the highlights all the time, and we have no-hitters on consecutive days. But I still think that there's something about the no-hitter that's exciting, just the fact that you have so many other one-hitters and two-hitters, and the lack of offense in the game, I think, is the larger problem.
It's funny. I was having dinner with my son at a restaurant, and I was seeing the TVs in the bar area, and I saw one of the television go from one game to another instantly, and my first reaction was, there might be another no-hitter, and it was. Corey Kluber was getting a no-hitter, and I was still excited about it, even though I knew, my God, I just saw this happen the night before.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is, Rob, I mean, I've been going to games and covering baseball for more than 20 years, and I have never seen no-hitter in person.
Yeah, me
either. So, I mean, that's something that's special. I want to see one of these days, but you know, at this point, it seems like everybody gets one.
All right, let's talk about Tony La Russa, these unwritten rules that has sparked a new debate. It feels like this is a returning topic. Whenever there's an unwritten rule that gets broken, we bring up the debate of unwritten rules and their value to baseball, traditional baseball. Is Tony La Russa getting a little bit more heat because he's like your grandpa complaining about something? I mean, he's an older guy. He comes from another generation. Or is he right about what happened the other night with Mercedes?
Well, here's the one thing, and I don't know the answer to this, but I think it is the fulcrum on which everything pivots, is did Tony La Russa actually yell out of the dugout, take, to his player who's up at the plate in the, you know, in the ninth inning of a 15-4 game on that 3-0 pitch? Did he give a sign? Did the third base coach, or did Yermín Mercedes just miss the sign, or did he disregard it? I think that's at the fulcrum of everything. If we knew that for sure, we'd be a lot smarter in our debate. I think that maybe if he missed the sign and that was it, that this thing would have just bubbled over, and the White Sox and Tony La Russa would have taken care of that internally inside the clubhouse, and we never would have heard much of anything about it. What Tony La Russa did, publicly chastising his player, I think because Yermín Mercedes hit a home run, Tony La Russa thought it made him look bad, and he was embarrassed. and not the game was embarrassed or necessarily that there was an unwritten rule broken, because there was an opposing pitcher, a position player on the mound for the Twins. That, for me, makes it different. That is what Lance Lynn said after the game, too. When you have a position player on the mound, all bets are off. I think that's true. And with that said, go ahead. You know, hit your home run, have fun, do whatever. But I think Tony La Russa was upset that it reflected poorly on him, and that's why he went after his young rookie that's, you know, having a great season but has zero experience in the major leagues before now.
Yeah. All right, some surprises, Steve, in baseball. And look, it would be weird to say the Red Sox are a surprise, but I didn't expect them to be good. How is it a surprise that they're leading the division?
Not necessarily. I mean, we're still early in the season, so anything can happen. I mean, we've seen the Yankees deal with injuries. We've seen, you know, other teams as well. And they're one game up in the AL East. Yeah, they were bad last year, but they won the World Series a couple
right.
years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a team that J.D. Martinez is a very good player. Xander Bogaerts is a very good player. Rafael Devers was in the MVP conversation a couple years ago. So I think their pitching is maybe surprising, but the fact that the Red Sox are playing well, they have their manager from the World Series years, Alex Cora, back in the dugout. So it shouldn't be too big of a surprise. I would say the San Francisco Giants may be a bigger surprise if we're talking about division leaders.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
We didn't expect to be there.
Let's get to the Angels, because Mike Trout is injured and he's going to be out for a while. Shohei Ohtani has been fantastic. He's in the MVP conversation as early as we are in this season. But once again, the Angels are below 500, not a very good team, not competitive. When are we going to start going, hey, wait a minute, it doesn't matter who you have, Joe Maddon or whoever, somehow, some way, that talent has got to start producing a run towards a division, right? Or what are we talking about in terms of Trout's legacy if we just keep talking about a team that's mired in below 500 baseball?
Yeah, this is one of the big disappointments, I think, in baseball. That's that Mike Trout has not gotten that October stage. Only one postseason series in his career. And I don't know. I mean, you look at it's not for lack of trying.
Right.
I mean, maybe the Pujols signing wasn't a great one. The Josh Hamilton signing didn't work out well for them. But, they went out and got the premier free agent, you know, in my mind last year, in terms of a position player in Anthony Rendon. I mean, to put him on that team with Trout, with Shohei Ohtani, and then they went out this this offseason too and got a lot of pitching depth, which was kind of like their Achilles heel in previous years, and it hasn't worked out for them. You know, they went out and got Raisel Iglesias. They got a top-level closer. So I don't know what the answer is for the Angels. Somehow or another, they just continue to underachieve, and you bring in a World Series winning manager, even in Joe Maddon, and it hasn't helped. So, yeah, I can't blame Angels fans if they feel like they've been snake bitten.
It's kind of, listen, I know players sometimes don't care about this, but I'm just thinking about a generational legacy here. If I'm telling my grandson 30 years from now about the great Mike Trout, and he goes, yeah, Grandpa, I don't know who that guy is. I don't remember that. Like, that's a sad thing, right? That would be a very sad thing. If he doesn't know who Mike Trout is because his baseball history is limited on who won World Series and who played well in the playoffs, I think that's a problem for this league.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and you risk going down in history as, like, you know, an Ernie Banks or somebody like that, who we know was a very good player, but not one of the all time greats that you mentioned in the same breath with, you know, DiMaggio and players that caliber, or Derek Jeter for that matter. So yeah, I think Mike Trout is, and partly too because he plays on the West Coast and you don't get that East Coast media attention and playing in prime time and all of that, I think that's a part of it as well.
The Mets are in first place in the East, but overall, how do you look at that division? The Atlanta Braves, I mean, it's bundled, but the Braves aren't, they're still below 500. I know there's a lot of sorting out that has to happen. The Mets have had their issues. Phillies has had their issues. Handicap a little bit about the East. Yeah. Hello? Do we lose Steve?
I think Steve dropped.
Oh, we lost Steve. Okay. Well, all right, I will end it now. Thank you, Steve Gardner. Yeah, we probably just had a drop off there. I was really excited for his analysis on the Mets. We couldn't have do a baseball conversation without a conversation
on
the Mets.
I'm going to try him real quick.
All right, let's see if we can grab him back on. Because the Mets have had their issues. They're 20-17, and yet you feel like there's always something kind of brewing with the Mets. But the Atlanta Braves have been a little disappointing. They're below 500. Washington and Miami and Philadelphia, they're all kind of bundled together. I know we're 6 weeks into the season, but I'm not looking for a runaway team right now. I mean, if you look at the AL East, for example, the only team that's really outside the conversation is Baltimore. Everybody else is a handful of games away, and the same in other divisions. But it feels like there's always something going on with each one of those teams. There's always one little issue that's kicking around. So, all right, Steve, real quick, I wanted to see if you could kind of handicap the NL East. I feel like each team has got an issue or two, even though they're all kind of bundled up together.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, only one team in Marlins has a positive run differential. So, I mean, when you see all of those teams together, the standings could be reversed in a matter of a week or two.
Right.
And we know the Nationals a couple years ago were that famous 19-31 and still ended up winning the World Series. So, I mean, everybody's got a shot. And you're right. There are flaws on every single team in that division. And I think that's what's going to make it exciting because, one team could get on a roll and, kind of take control, and then they could have the same thing happen to them and tumble down. I think anybody right now can win, even the Marlins.
All good stuff, man. Steve, always good grabbing you, and thank you for your time as always, and we'll catch up with you soon, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
You got it. Steve Gardner, USA Today, talking Major League Baseball. Love what he said about I kind of looked at that angle, too, with Tony La Russa, which was really interesting. It's not so much that he's doing it for the game, the way he presented himself, right? We're doing it for the game. Doing it for himself, right? Because he's the manager of the team. And when his hitter takes a 3-0 pitch and blasts it out of the park against a positional pitcher in a blowout game, he's the one that's going to look bad. So he protects himself. Even at 76 years old, he's concerned about the way he's being perceived in the game at that particular moment. It's a really good thought by Steve Gardner on that current situation. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. We'll come back, wrap up the hour.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, thanks to Steve Gardner, USA Today. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. All right, I know the White Sox are in first place, but I'm still not high on this La Russa hunt.
I think that's just because you have to take a walk and you
that's
don't want
true.
To do it.
Eventually, I will have to.
You'll have to take a walk.
I'm going to get a doctor's note because I had that knee surgery. He'll say, walking to Chicago from Nashville is not good for Tony's knee.
I mean, it probably isn't.
And I'll get
Let's
out.
Let's be real.
But they are in first place. And
they are.
They got, I think, I'm looking real quick, they got the best record in baseball.
I mean, and I guess that's the argument for him.
Oh, sure.
And I'm saying that with a question mark. Like, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I guess. Actually, the San Francisco Giants have the best record in baseball. He's right. That's a surprise.
That is a surprise.
Should be L.A. San Diego and everybody else kind of looking up saying hi.
Yeah.
Not the Giants on top.
Well, the Dodgers had that weird spell. I think they've righted the ship now.
Yeah. That's probably true. It's a long season still.
So. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
Most probably overused cliche in all of baseball.
Baseball's a weird sport like that because it's, we don't think about this in other sports, but in baseball, it's like you have to give me a lot of time for me to really then start going, okay, it's time to worry now.
I mean,
in the beginning, like, oh, we're struggling. We're losing 4 out of 5 and we're struggling. But there's got to be a point, like sometime in the summer, where you go, okay, that's enough. Like we're gonna make a run. Like it's got to happen now.
I don't even know if that's the case. Remember the year the Nationals won it?
Yeah,
they started off like 19-30
terrible. It was one of the most historic runs baseball's ever had. A terrible start.
if you're a Nationals fan, you saw your team start, and you're like, okay, well, I guess, you know, chalk it up to next season, and then
chill
your
out.
Team starts winning. But on the flip side of that, remember, it was the Giants who were leading the way. They're looking like the best team in all of baseball, and then as soon as the Nationals started winning, Giants started losing, and the Giants
right.
just tanked.
That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, it's both ways. That's why.
And the Cardinals in 2006 were a team that was barely over 500 and got in and won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Beat the Mets in the NLCS and then went on to win the World Series against Detroit, I think.
So, I mean, that's why we always say a marathon.
Yeah. It's just, you know, so, you know, I've look, in the NFL, every game is the equivalent of 10 games in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Right? One is 16.
Well, there's that. That's why that.
That's
that,
why.
I wish we had more time, but there was that thread going around. Like, what game? What's harder to win? You know, a playoff series? Like, there was. Because of the NBA. It's like, is it harder to win an NBA playoff series or one NFL game?
Yeah, good. Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I'll have to ponder that the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I'll have your answer on Monday. All right.
Yeah, soak that one in.
Memphis Golden State tonight. I know who the league is rooting for.
Yeah. I think I know who we're all rooting for.
Yeah, man, we'll see how that's going to go down this evening. So, and then the NBA playoffs really get underway this weekend with all those first-round series. Thanks for joining us. We will see you Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. Tony D, Ron Culver. This is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.